is from the book of Galatians, chapter 2, verses 19 to 21. For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if justification comes through the law, then Christ died for nothing. And God blesses the public reading of his inspired and infallible word.
Lola has read beautifully for us from the book of Galatians chapter 2, which will be the main place of our conversation today. And the message for today is a devoted heart is a determined heart. It's a determined heart. And there are a few thoughts that we will be looking at. Firstly, that our devotion is rooted in the love of God. We will look at devotion as the heartbeat of a living sacrifice. See how devotion begets or brings forth more devotion. We will look at how a determined heart is a heart of faith. And lastly, devotion and determination as a daily choice. As we started this series, as we said, this is the fourth part today. It was very difficult for me to separate the word devotion or devoted heart from devotion. Immediately, my mind starts thinking of devotional books and our time of devotion together. And I couldn't get the prayer place out of my mind. And so thankfully, we have a team that the moment you think of something, they create it. So thank you very much to the team that we have. But this space, the place of devotion, I want us to have that in our mind as we look at the Word of God today. Yours might look different, but it's the place where you meet with God. Because there is no way we can have a devoted heart unless we have a place of devotion, a space that we are devoting ourselves to God. The place where you go and you sit down with Jesus because he is alive. You might sit down by the side of your bed or you might kneel before him. You might be away at a business meeting, but when you get back to your room, there's that place where heaven and earth meet. That's where the devoted heart is formed. And once you taste that place, you never want to be without it. Once you experience the presence of God, the Spirit of God, the power of God, the beauty of the Lord in that place of devotion, even though you move out of that physical location, in your heart, you remain devoted. And so the first thing we will look at today is that devotion is rooted in the love of God. The word devoted means extreme love and loyalty. Besides devotional times, something else that might come to mind when we say devoted is a football fan. They tend to be pretty devoted. I betrayed myself. I said they as opposed to we. They tend to be pretty devoted. But when you look at the words devoted, the words that connect to it make you think, should we really be devoted to anything other than to God? Listen to some of the synonyms: unfaltering, unshakable, unswerving, unwavering. I don't know that anything in this world deserves that kind of devotion, just a thought. What about determination? Determination is wanting to do something so very much and not allowing anyone or any difficulties to stop us from getting it done. So if we put devoted and determined together, this is what we get: a love and loyalty in our conversation. It's to Jesus. A love and loyalty to Jesus that leads to an unrelenting, Christ-centered life. A devoted heart that is rooted in Jesus begins in the love that God showed us. And in the book of Galatians 2 this morning or this afternoon now, we've heard how Jesus first demonstrated that love to us. If we turn there together now, verse 19 says, "For through the law, I died to the law so that I might live for God." This is Paul speaking to the Galatians. Then he says, "I have been crucified with Christ." Let's pause. I have been crucified with Christ. We all know how Jesus Christ came into this world, lived a life like you and I, but he didn't end there. He went on to the cross where he died. On the third day, he rose again. That place of crucifixion was not just for the one man, Jesus, but it's for everyone who believes in him. We come into agreement with his death, but we also say, "I am laying down my life at that place of the cross to rise again, even as Jesus Christ rose to the new life by the power of his Spirit." So when Paul is saying, "I have been crucified with Christ," he's saying, "I identify, I come into agreement, I believe in what Jesus Christ did on the cross that day. And I no longer live." Someone say, "I no longer live." What is I? I is my will, my hopes, my dreams, my intentions, my motivations, my ambition, my future. At whatever age or stage in life you are, the day that you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you put down I. And you took up a new life. Now we know that God is good, amen? And so if he's a good God, it means that we have taken up a life that is much better than anything that we could have imagined. Much more exciting, much more adventurous, much more fulfilling than anything we could have achieved by ourselves. But in order to experience that fullness, we have to daily remember that we have put down first our old nature, but also daily take up the new life that we have by the power of the Spirit of God. Paul goes on to say, "It is no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Christ lives in me. If we are going to have a contrast and compare, we need to know what we're contrasting and comparing. Because I has died. Okay, so what is Christ? Who is Christ? Christ lives in me. What does it look like for Christ to live in me? There may be some generic things that we can all pick up from the Bible, but we find that we've all been shaped in the image and in the likeness of God. So that means that the expression of Christ in you is going to be different from the expression of Christ in the other, but yet they're going to be one. The greater purpose of God is still going to be seen in and through all of us, but with the form and the shape that is unique to our individuality. Christ lives in me, and the life I now live in the body. We express what we believe by our body, what we're saying, what we're listening to, what we're seeing, what we're touching, where we're walking. Our body demonstrates what we believe in. Our body demonstrates what we have devoted our hearts to. So what have you devoted your heart to? Who have we devoted our hearts to? Because all of us are devoted to something. The place of devotion didn't begin at the cross. The devoted heart is actually a part of every single one of us. If you go back to the book of Genesis, you find that there were two people, Adam and Eve, and they were accustomed to have devotion with the Lord. Every day, the Lord would come and meet with them at the cool of day, and they would sit down in their place and spend time with the Lord. When they were separated, that yearning for devotion still remained in them and still remains in us today. If we're not devoted to Jesus, we're devoted to something else. The question is what? And is it worth it? Because Jesus has showed us that he is so devoted to us, actually, devoted to the Father and through that to us, that he's willing to lay down his life. So whatever it is that we're devoted to, if it's not Jesus, is it worth it? Has it shown us the level of devotion that deserves our devotion back to it or back to him or her? The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God. A devoted heart is a heart of faith. What is faith? Faith is believing in what we do not yet see. Faith is getting up in the morning and turning our hearts to a God who you know exists and who you know loves you and cares for you. And we know that he loves us and that he gave himself for us. So Galatians is Paul reminding the believers that this is the God who you have devoted yourself to. This is the Jesus that we have devoted ourselves to. And we don't live out of trying to please him, but he's actually done all the work. We just have to come into agreement with him. So Paul writing, he's reminding them this. Why? Because there were some people who had come to them at that time. They were believers as well, but they were Jewish background believers, and they were trying to bring a new type of Christianity. I'm calling it a hybrid Christianity. Does anyone have a hybrid car at the moment? Part petrol, part electricity? Well, these people were trying to do part grace, part law. It doesn't work. They were trying to walk by grace, but actually as well, just in case, let me tick the box as well. Jesus Christ is Lord, but just in case, maybe we should go and get circumcised. Live by grace, but just in case, maybe I should pray 10 times a day. But Paul is reminding them, hey, there is nothing you can do to make God love you more. He's already done everything to connect us back to God. Apostle Paul was reminding these believers they are set right with God, not by rule keeping, but only through personal faith, believing in Jesus Christ. This is fundamental for the devoted heart. This is fundamental for the determined heart, because we must search our hearts, and only we know. Your neighbor doesn't know. Your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, they don't know if our determination or our devotion stems from the place of needing to please God or from the place of loving God and expressing out of it. But we must search our hearts and ask the Lord, would you help me that I would grasp your love and understand your truth so that I work and function from the place of loving you, not trying to gain your love. Amen. Verse 19 to 21 in the Message version reads, what actually took place is this. I tried keeping rules and working my head off, or my socks off if he was in the 21st century, and it didn't work. I tried being determined and unrelenting in my pursuit of God outside of love. So I quit being a law man so that I could be God's man. Christ's love showed me how and enabled me to do so. In Christ, we identify ourselves completely with him. In Christ, we identify ourselves completely with him. Now, how many who were coming into church today, you were walking just towards the church and you saw someone else you know? It happens. You're like, oh, there's Luke coming in. Oh, there's Teresa coming in. But once they come in through those doors, you don't see them anymore when you're outside. What do you see? The church. When we are in Christ, guess what is meant to be seen? Christ. It should be that when we go to work and people look at us, they can see, I know that person, I know Mary, I know Joe, but actually there is something they're seeing, and that's Christ in how we conduct ourselves, in how we talk, in what we do and why we do what we do. When we are in Christ, it is seen in how we live our lives. Paul says, my ego is no longer central. It is no longer important that I appear righteous before you or have good opinion. I am no longer driven to impress God. Christ lives in me. The life you see me living is not mine, but it is lived by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We live in Christ, and Christ lives in us. Have you seen that? You live in Christ if you have believed in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and his Spirit lives in you and expresses itself through you, expresses himself through you, so that we are able to then walk out a life that is devoted. A devoted heart is grounded in faith and in grace. It says that the work has been completed. And I live a life that is determined to love God. Second point I want us to consider this morning is devotion is the heartbeat of a living sacrifice. Paul talks about the fact that we have been crucified with Christ, and that actually takes our minds to Romans 12, verse 1. I wonder if we could all turn there together. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And here we find, you may have different ideas of who wrote this. I'm going for Paul at this moment. Paul, continuing to speak, he says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, on the basis of God's mercy, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. The life of one devoted to God is like a sacrifice. This concept of sacrifice actually takes us back to the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, they had a tent, a tabernacle, and they had an altar where they would come and present their sacrifices. Jesus was coming to become the sacrifice once and for all. And so when we are in Jesus, we too are living sacrifices. How many know that a sacrifice is painful? A sacrifice has suffering. A sacrifice is not pleasant. In fact, it can be quite messy. There is a lot of glory and beauty, but there's also a lot of suffering when we are walking with the Lord. I know, not a fun 11 a.m. message. But we have to hold them together, because the more of God that we choose to live in, let me rephrase that. The more we give ourselves to the Lord and experience his glory and his goodness, he gives us the strength to experience the hardship. He gives us the strength to know that what we say yes to might come with hardship, but it's going to have glory as well. What we say yes to when it's his will might be very uncomfortable, but he's going to be in it with us. Devotion is the heartbeat of a living sacrifice. What that means is that it's loving him that empowers us to walk in the hard times. It's loving him that empowers us to still say yes tomorrow morning and still say yes the day after. When everybody else is doing something different, I'm still choosing Jesus. Why? Because I love him and because he loves me. Because there is this divine love language taking place that causes everything else to orbit around it. Some might be going to university already, or maybe joining us this week, first or second week in university. And for the first time, mom's not there, dad's not there, grandma's not there. And you've got the whole world to yourself to do what you will. And you have all different voices telling you what to do. And many of them are voices that have not been in alignment with the voice that you heard in this house, or the voice that you have heard in the Word of God through your family. Living sacrifice means that I might be in university, but I'm still going to say yes to Jesus and no to every other voice. It might mean that I won't have as many friends, but I'm still going to say yes to Jesus and no to every other voice. Apparently, it means that I am not as exciting, but I'm still going to say yes to Jesus because I am devoted to him. That devotion shapes our determination. because I remain determined to praise him, to worship him, to glorify him, despite what's going on around me. And what we find is that the Lord brings the influences that empower us and guide us in the path that we are choosing. A devoted heart is a sacrificial one, and it is a surrendered life. The third thought we have is that devotion begets devotion. When we go and we lock ourselves in that secret place and we experience the goodness of God, as I said, you've come out and you still want to just be in that secret place. There is a time in the Bible we see Peter and John and I believe James, and they are seeing Jesus in his glory. We call it the transfiguration. Now you and I, let's picture that. We're going to call this moment over here, that transfiguration, where Jesus in his full glory is revealed. His glory, his beauty, his kindness, his goodness, his all that is God is revealed. Who wants to go back to planet Earth? Nobody. And they would have wanted to stay right there as well. And when we taste of that good place, we're like, God, well, we can just stay here. But Jesus, what did he do? He invited them to journey with him, because the glory that they experienced there needed to be seen and experienced in the world around them, by them and through them. But that place of devotion just stirs us up and makes us desire to just keep wanting to have more of him. Matthew 6:33 reminds us, seek first the kingdom of God. Seeking him is turning our hearts and our affection to him first and letting that guide and dictate everything else. That love is like no other. And it forms who we are. When people see you and I, they see Christ. Should see Christ. But he is helping us to get there. In a year-long research published by the Evangelical Alliance recently, it said that the most significant factors that prompted unbelievers to explore Christian faith were the impact of faith on someone else, someone they know, a Christian who spoke to them about faith, and the actions of a Christian. A devoted heart causes us to express Christ, and other people begin to see and hear, and they then want, what we have. They then begin to wonder, you're going through the same difficulty I am. What is it that you're doing? Because I want that. There's a modern day martyr because he was killed in the 20th century, in the 1940s he was killed, called Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who says, your life as a Christian should make non-believers question their disbelief in God. Let me say that again. Your life as a Christian, your life as a follower of Jesus Christ should make non-believers question their disbelief in God, because they want to know, what is it that you're doing and how can I get what you have? It reminds me of getting a phone call from a phone company. I don't know if you've ever had that. And they call, hello, is this Mrs. Smith? And you're like, yes, well, I'm not Mrs. Smith. And they say, I just wanted to let you know about our latest deal. And you begin to listen. How many listen? Yeah, most people are like, I know how to get a good deal myself. Goodbye. But we indulge, we listen. And they begin to tell you the good things that, you know, we have faster internet, we have less setup costs or no setup costs whatsoever. You will get unlimited calls, unlimited messages. All the data that you need, it's all available. But sometimes what they're offering, you actually have a better deal. So they're like, we have unlimited calls. So do I. We have 50 gigabyte speed. I hope that makes sense. And you're like, well, I have 100. We only cost £20 to set up. There's no setup cost for mine. Oh, the next question that comes is, may I ask who your provider is? And at that point, you know that you have a better deal than what they were offering. Well, that's what a life in Jesus looks like. It's when you're being told, how about you taste this? And you're like, but I taste better. It tastes better over here. How about you listen to that? But I actually get more life when I listen to this. How about we go over there? But I got church on Sunday and we're going to be having heaven on earth. When we are tasting and experiencing the goodness of God, when we are enjoying that place of devotion, it makes others want to know, what is it that we are doing? More than just wanting to know, it makes one wants to subscribe to what you have. It's like, I need to cancel what I have and connect to what you have. The fourth thing, a devoted and determined heart is a heart of faith. It's connected to the author of life. Faith means that we wait on the Lord until we see his goodness revealed. Faith is not just believing there is a God. Faith is living life with God. David says in Psalm 27:14, wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage and wait for the Lord. A devoted heart waits for the Lord. A devoted heart knows that because I am a living sacrifice, because I have died to my own will and my own ways of doing things, I need to spend the time with the Lord and hear his voice in order to get up and do what I must do. There's a beautiful book that I was reading in preparation for this by a lady by the name of Basilea Schlink. And she shared how she was torn between the worlds of laying down everything but also being everything that God has called you to be. Does anyone ever find that challenging? You tell me anyone who does not hate their mother or father does not hate their mother and father, but then in the same vein, you tell me honor your mother and father. How does that work? You tell me to lay down my life, but also take up the cross and follow me. There are sometimes you read and you're like, how does this look? How does this work? It works from the place of love. It's saying, everything that you have given to me is now at your service. It's now yours. You do with it what you will. And then we wait. And as we wait, we receive the wisdom and the courage and the strength to get up and do all that he has called us to do by his power, by his strength, by his grace. There's a man in the Bible by the name of Daniel. Daniel was considered to be one of an excellent spirit. He infuriated, the people who worked with him, because he was a slave who had been taken from Israel and brought to Babylon, but yet he was being promoted and excelling. And they were like, how is this person excelling and doing all these great things? To the point of him being among the top three governors of the area. Do you know what his secret was? A devoted heart. We read in Daniel chapter 6. I wonder if we could go there together. Daniel chapter 6. In the book of Daniel chapter 6, we're finding a time where the king has said, having been told by Daniel's not so kind colleagues, to set up an image that everyone will bow to and worship. The king signs that decree. And then Daniel still chooses to worship God instead. And It's the wording of it that really stood out for me. It says, although Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he continued to go to his house, which had windows in its upper room towards Jerusalem, and to get down on his knees 3 times a day and to pray to his God and praise him just as he had done previously. A determined and devoted life is a daily choice. But a determined and devoted life is also one that is not held back by the dangers or the opposition or the difficulties. Remember how we read that determination means that I will do what I need to do regardless of what's around me? Daniel was choosing to say that. Daniel was saying that by what he was doing. But long before he refused to bow down to the image, he was already expressing a determined life. He was already expressing that God comes first in my day. And out of that determination, we see excellence. Out of that determination, we see promotion. Out of that determination, we see a life that is wholly surrendered to God. So I invite you to ask yourself this morning, one, who's my heart devoted to? And two, what does that do to my determination? Do I even have, do I find myself unrelenting in any pursuit? Or maybe we can ask it the other way around. What am I unrelenting about? What is it that I will push anything and everything out of the way in order to have access to? And then ask ourselves the second question, what's my motivation for that? Our motivation, our driving, our invitation, it comes first and foremost from our experience with Jesus. That faith, that believing in God is what drove Daniel. And Daniel is one of many men that we see in Hebrews chapter 11 who are called men and women of faith. Faith is not just being able to be in a lion's den and not be eaten. Faith is not just being thrown into a furnace and it doesn't burn you up. Faith is also every day choosing to show Jesus, to show integrity, to show faithfulness. That is determination. When I was preparing for this, I couldn't separate the two. Being determined and being a one of faith, it was almost inseparable. So I wonder if you could go with me in your minds for a moment. Let's go to Abraham. Abraham is considered to be a man of faith. What's one of the most significant things that Abraham is known for is the fact that at the age of 100 years old, him and his wife had a child. Now, I want you to imagine the men and women around Abraham when he is 70 and 80 years old. Oh, that Abraham is still believing for a son. He's really determined, isn't he? 90 years old, I think he should give up now. But he was determined that what God said would come to pass would come to pass. So I'm going to wait on it. Determination is actually faith in action. James says faith without works is dead. So if you have faith, show it to me by what you do. Determination is faith in action. How about Moses' mom? Moses' mom is pregnant with Moses, and then the king says that every single child under the age of 2 is going to be killed. I think her attempt to save his life would have looked like determination to the people around her, those who knew. It's like, she's really going to try and keep that baby. She's really determined, isn't she? Her determination was faith, and it was that faith that saved Moses' life. Faith will often be seen as stubbornness. Sometimes it can be seen as legalistic. Sometimes it can be misunderstood by the people around you. Just give up. Just go and find something else. But what we heard in the secret place when we were waiting on the Lord, that's what we hold on to, regardless of the voices around us. Determination is a resolve to show love and loyalty to God wholeheartedly, in spite of and despite the circumstances around us. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 15, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." If we love him, over here, if we love him and we hear the voice of the one we love, if we love him and we see the one we love, then when we go out into our everyday life, we will keep his commandments. We will have the power to keep his commandments because the power is his love working in us and through us. 2 Corinthians 5:14, 15 says, Christ's love compels us. We'll be compelled every day to live a life that brings glory to God. In the book, My All for Him, Basileia says, every situation, every aspect of daily life offers opportunity to draw closer to Jesus until our one desire is to give our all for Him who gave His all for us. It's that love and that devotion that gives us patience in suffering, that causes us to rejoice with hope and causes us to persevere in prayer. As we begin to come to a close, I wonder whether you've been listening and you're thinking, I want to subscribe to that. I have been having a service provider that does not give me what I'm hearing today. Is that available? Yes, it is. Can I buy it? You don't have to. It's available to every one of us who will simply say, Jesus, I want a heart that is devoted to you. I want to devote my life to you. I choose you to guide my life. I hear that you're available in the storm as well as in the good times. I want you. I hear that you provide hope. I want that.